I'm Marshall Friday.
And I'm Mike Wilbur.
And you're listening to The Curious Wire. So this is the first where we have two folks on the same time. This is going to be a very different type of episode. This episode is about health and fitness. I know that the more serious I've taken my health and fitness, the better I feel and the better results I have been able to produce. And so these two gentlemen have, they both have great stories of how health and fitness have changed their life and I think their careers as well. They'll share that. And the idea here is to show you that it's very possible, no matter who you are in multifamily, especially if you work on site, there's a good chance that you have a gym at your community. And we're trying to eliminate the objections. It doesn't have to be an hour every day. It doesn't have to be a gym membership. You don't even have to break a sweat sometimes just to start making better, healthy choices. So just alphabetically, we'll start with Marshall. Marshall, can you give us the 90-second story?
Yeah. So my name is Marshall Friday. I work for ADT Multifamily. We make apartments smart. I've been here for 17 years. And for several of those years, I referred to myself as Fat Marshall. Right now, I'm Fit Marshall, which is fantastic. So I've been on a roller coaster. I will say that health and wellness is not a linear progression where you just get healthier and healthier. There are definitely setbacks. There are definitely pitfalls. But for the last 967 days, I have found 30 minutes a day to work out. That workout, Moshe, like you mentioned, is not always lifting heavy. It's not doing something for an hour. It's not super intense. Sometimes I'm walking. Sometimes I'm golfing. Sometimes I'm playing softball with friends. But I find 30 minutes every single day, Monday through Friday, Saturday and Sunday, to do something to get healthy. I will tell you that I am on a journey where this has become a lifestyle for me now. It's something that I can't stop. And every day, even if it gets to 11:30 at night and I haven't finished 30 minutes, I'll jog in place. I'll do push-ups. I'll do sit-ups. I'll do something to check that off my list every day that I've completed 30 minutes of some kind of exercise. So that's where I am in my journey right now.
Awesome. Mike?
Yeah, great question. Love the topic. Fitness changed my life and my trajectory in a big way. In 2008, I communicated my goals to my world at the time, not on social, which has definitely become a part of why I believe in being active online. I lost 82 pounds between 2008 and 2010. And I did it through discipline, not motivation. And I'd say over the past, 13 or 14 years of really charging in my career, I've really fallen into this belief that something is better than nothing when it comes to progress. And fitness has definitely been a big part of that because I made a big decision and followed through. And I think similar to Marshall, like something I've really fallen into is just like my own version of habits of success. What do I need to do daily, weekly, monthly to feel good, look good, and do good? And that's definitely driven a lot of good outcomes for me in my personal, but also professional life.
Excellent. And so again, one of the reasons why I'm so obsessed with this idea is I just see it happen daily, people who feel good produce better results. And just what's going on in the world, there's so many that are not feeling well. And I've been there and there are some days where I'm not feeling good about myself and exercise is like that. Someone uses it as a drug, but like it's such an easy hit and fix to it, what it produces. I've never met someone who didn't feel good about after exercising. So I'm curious now to get into like some specifics. So Marshall, you came up with a half hour in terms of how you do your exercise or what you do. What is like, do you have, is there a certain focus, a certain goal? Is there a certain regimen, or is just like, I have to do 30 and you just created this habit?
I'm a big fan of gamification. I came from the learning and development space before I got back into sales here in the multifamily world. And I will say Apple has done a fantastic job with the rings on the watch. It's something where I set a calorie goal at the beginning. I set an exercise goal at the beginning. I set a stand goal. And each day that I accomplish those, there's a dopamine hit, I guess, of, hey, you did what you were supposed to do today. I watch it all day long. I actually don't read most of my notifications on my watch. I just let it vibrate on my wrist. But that's the one thing that I use the most is where are you at on your rings? For those of you who don't have Apple Watch, I mean, there are Garmins out there. There are Fitbits. There are Samsung watches. There's all different kinds of ways. There are even rings now that you can use to track activity that only need a charge every 7 days. But for me, there's something to seeing the visual accomplishment at the end of the day to know that you did it. Plus, it's very specific with the time. You know, if I'm going to go for a run, I can start it and see how long I've been running. If I'm going to start lifting, I can lift and see how long I've been lifting, how many calories I burned. Those kind of data points are important to me just from a routine aspect, but I don't necessarily have goals, Moshe. So my goal was to lose weight. I was unhealthy. I saw a picture of myself speaking on stage at NMHC's OpTech, and I thought that somebody had stuffed a hotel pillow underneath my shirt because it was just hanging out there. And I decided that it was time to make a change for the better. And it has impacted me personally, professionally, mental well-being, as well as physical well-being, obviously, is the main visible result that you can see. But my sales performance has gone up. My relationship has improved. All aspects of my personal life are impacted because I, like you, believe it's all connected. So for me, there was not a, I need to get to this weight. I need to get to this waist size. I need to get to this endurance level. It was, I need to be healthier for my wife and for my daughter and for me.
Yeah. So for me, it started the same way. Like, I got to just exercise every day or whatever my cadence was and how that made me feel. And then I think with anything, when you measure it, one, it just feels so good when you could look back and be like, what I've accomplished and what you've actually done. I've seen that. I do this with leasing. We look back of like when we acquire a property and where it was when we started and where it goes over time. And it's very gratifying when the team looks back and be like, hey, we started, this is the occupancy. This is what we were able to accomplish in a certain amount of time. And so when you, anything, you look back and see what you've done, there's a lot of gratification there. And hopefully it fuels fire to do accomplish more. So I like that it started with you in terms of tracking it, for myself, like, that was the beginning, tracking, and felt great. And then it was just like, how do I be more structured about this? And then I just got into this cadence of push, pull, legs. So I do a push day, pull day, and then legs. And then, you know, you can mix core in there every once in a while. But it for me, it's like very simple. I don't have an awesome gym like Mike does. Keep it simple, but it's also like it helps me, like I could do it anywhere. And there's certain things like I want to get into running. I hate running. But I'm trying to figure out some other stuff where I could get into. During COVID, I think like a lot of, I got into biking, but then it's like, you need a bike everywhere. Like I want to be a minimalist when it comes to exercise. I want to do body weight stuff and I want to be a minimalist. All right, Mike, tell us, what is your cadence? Like, did it evolve over time? What is it now? We know that it starts early and it's impressive.
No, I won't get into the specifics of it. I would say that a couple things for me that have like evolved over the years is, like, the season of your life dictates what is going to happen. I look at Marshall, top right of my screen right now, like the two of us are charging on the vendor side, probably traveling more than just about the majority of the industry. We're both fathers. I know that's something all three of us share in common. And I certainly prioritize like the waking hours with my kids over anything else when I'm not in the workplace. Three kids, like, you know, they say you can't outrun a bad diet. You certainly can when you're running 4,000 miles a year. And so learned that well at Nike, ran at a very competitive level, sub 3 hour marathons, ate Nutella with marshmallow on bagels every morning and had a six pack. Right. But now at this stage of my life, I believe in a clean diet. I do believe that that's a huge pillar to stand on if fitness is going to be a priority for you, and much simpler than I'd say both of you. I do something every day and my only rule is I must break a sweat. You know, yesterday it wasn't a workout. It was both my kids on my back charging up and down a mountainside sledding for about 2 hours. And my legs are sore this morning. But this morning, you know, I was in the gym for about 75 minutes, did 30 minutes of cardio, and then I lifted upper. And so I am somewhat structured Monday through Friday, but the weekends, as long as I sweat and eat a decent diet, I'm usually pretty okay.
One of the first things I started doing was actually this free app where it would have the exercises. So it gave me something that I had to follow. And then it also pushed me to do more. And then sometimes like it became something that I would actually do with my kids. Like they're like, could we do an exercise in the app? And
totally.
Like, they're not totally following it, but it became a bonding thing and it was actually a lot of fun. And just it's focused on those healthy habits. So now we're trying, I think the inspiration, we covered the inspiration there. Like, you guys made that change. It's had a huge impact on your life and your work, your performance. What's your advice to someone to get started? And we're talking to people who work in multifamily. Sorry, Marshall, you go first. Just actually, let's very first. Mike, you go first because we did Marshall last time.
Yeah, I would say you have to have a reason that you want to start. That reason can be small or it can be super significant. I know many people who have had a scary 40-year-old physical and that was their wake-up call. And I also know people like Marshall that have had the pillow aesthetic and that was their reason to like make a change. Mine was probably somewhere in the middle. Like I was playing a video game pretty addictively during college. Did a command called backslash played, and I realized that I'd spent literally a third of my life over the past 3 years playing this video game. 1 year of the last 3 years, I've been behind my computer. And that was my wake-up call. And I chose fitness to go stand for something much bigger than a video game. And I would also say, like, find someone who is a step or two ahead of you and use that person as a mentor. If you ask anyone who's been through a fitness journey for some accountability, they will give it to you. And that's one of my biggest beliefs now is have someone who's been there before and ask for help. For me, it was a book. I bought a very simple book called Body for Life, and it was my hardbound mentor, and it changed my perspective. And now with the world of LinkedIn and Instagram, there's so many people you can connect with. If you ask for some guidance and some accountability, good things can happen with that quick, you know, text exchange once a week or whatever it looks like.
Marshall?
I'll say something similar to Mike. You have to have a reason for doing it, and it doesn't always have to be the same reason. So when I started, it was in the spring / early summer of 2020. We all remember what was going on then. And they said that the coronavirus impacted people who were old, people who were sick, and people who were fat. I wasn't old yet, and I'm still not old yet, Mike. I wasn't sick. I was healthy enough, but I was overweight. And so that was my original motivation. As my daughter started to see more and more of what I was doing and the transformation I was making, she was 4 at the time. She's 6 now. She comes out to the garage gym with me. She's got her little pink 2.5-pound dumbbells. She calls them push-ups when she lifts them over her head, but she does push-ups out there. And she's a constant cheerleader and motivator for me, where I have a brother-in-law who's actually a bodybuilder, and she says, hey, your arms aren't as big as Uncle Dave's yet. Do another set. And so she's out there motivating me. But for me, it's when I see the impact that it's having on her, that's my motivation now, because I know I'm leading her towards a healthier lifestyle. We'll go outside and we'll play tennis together. We'll run together. And she doesn't have the same aspirations that I do at 6, obviously, but she's thinking healthy. We talk about our diet choices together. We talk about the physical activity that we're doing. And she's still a princess, right? She wants to wear heels. She wants to wear dresses. But when it comes time to physical fitness, she gets involved. On the same aspect that Mike said, accountability is great. But I want to remind folks that an accountability partner is not there to motivate you. The motivation has to come from within. There's a huge mental aspect to this. And if you are not motivated to make a change, you're not going to do it. If a video game is more important, your brain is going to tell you to play the video game. If getting healthy and fit is more important, your body will tell you, go take a run, go lift a weight, go for a bike ride. Whatever it is that you do to stay fit, take a walk. I had somebody who couldn't join a Zoom call an hour ago today. And when he called me on the phone, I took it outside the office and I started walking around. Walked a mile while I was on the phone with him at a leisurely pace. I'm not trying to come back in here sweaty. I live in South Texas. It's already hot here. But I went out and I took the steps. I stand all day at work. There's decisions that we can make every single day that impact our health. And when you prioritize it yourself mentally, that's whenever it becomes real.
Yeah, so about 2.5 days a week, I'm on site. And about once a month, I try to have a one-on-one with each of the members of the leasing team. And often, like, when it's on site, we're walking. Sometimes they regret it after. But you change it up. But that I want to use that as a segue to, so you guys are both leaders and managers in your organizations and you have people on your team. How do you approach trying to push people on your team to exercise without them being offended about it, but just because, like, this is so good? I think it's a touchy subject where you don't want someone to be offended, like, oh, why are you telling me this? Or you think this, but it's just purely from not try to change you, but just because this has been such a positive effect, and we'll reverse it again. So Marshall, you'll start.
I can tell you, Mike mentioned social media earlier. LinkedIn is my only social media. That's where I post 100% of my content. And the thing that I found out when I started publicly sharing, this is the journey I'm on, this is what I'm going through. Not only do you create accountability from old friends, new friends, peers in the industry, I had so many people reach out to me. It was insane where they reach out to me after a year and say, your post a year ago helped me change my life. And they'd send me a before picture and an after picture and say, because you're sharing about this, these are people that I didn't see reactions on my LinkedIn post from. I didn't see comments on my LinkedIn post. They didn't reach out to me and ask me to be their accountability partner. So for me, that the way I motivate is indirectly. I try and just share my story, share the benefits that I'm getting from what I'm doing. And again, because I believe it's all up to your own personal mind games that you play, those folks who have read the message and been motivated, I love getting the stories back from them saying, you wouldn't believe the changes I've made over the last year. And when you wrote this, which is something I don't even remember the details of whenever somebody reaches out to me, one thing you said really stuck out to me and I made a change in my life. So it's very indirect for me. I'm not trying to push people in a certain direction. I'm just trying to share my story and the benefits that I've received, and hopefully they take something from that.
So to use an analogy, you're a cup and you're just filling up your cup and it's pouring over versus going to other people and be like, hey, let me fill up your cup. You're just overflowing to others. And that's the way you're hoping that it impacts. Okay. And then that avoids the sticky stuff. Okay, Mike.
So I think similar to Marshall, a couple things for me that have helped. One is just like actions speak louder than words. And so just being active, I think, has a ripple effect impact. And it's really easy to bring others along when you're already active. Marshall used the walking one-on-one example, and so did you, Moshe. Like in my world, very easy when it's nice outside to say, hey, want to just take this one as a walking? And whether it's virtual or in person, like you're naturally bringing others along in that regard. I'd say the second one that's been really impactful, especially with travel, is that for people that want to get into fitness, it's sometimes intimidating until it's not. And NAA last year is a great example. It was in sunny San Diego. And, you know, let's skip the hangover and get outside for a morning walk, everybody. That walk turned into every time we saw stairs, we'd run up and down them. Ran into you, Moshe, ran into you as well, Marshall. And I think those are the kinds of things that, you know, the first morning there were three of us, the second morning there were 12 of us, and it was walking, jogging, the occasional push-up or air squat and that kind of thing. It's a memory, it's a LinkedIn post. And then those things probably became habits for half the group.
Just as a side note, if you someone's going to a conference and you are selling, it's such a great space to meet people in the early morning exercising versus in the exhibit
so
hall.
Better.
Or I mean, I'm not selling anything, and I had interactions with folks that I was trying to connect with, and I actually passed someone and I was like, oh, I've been trying to connect to that person. I turned around and jogged with them for like 60 seconds and it'd be like, hey, great to meet you in person. Hopefully we could set up a time later. And then guess what? They found me later and we had a great conversation. As we look to wrap up, I'm curious in terms of diet. So for me, I think that's like a huge category where everybody tries to do different things. For me, I got into intermittent fasting at the beginning of 2022. And the reason why it really worked, first, I learned about it and there's a lot of things just scientifically that made a lot of sense to me, where when you go a longer period of time, you start to use stored fat and ketosis and all these fancy terms. That's where the keto diet, I think, comes from. But for me, I don't have to change so much what I eat. Not that I eat unhealthy things, but I also have, because I'm Jewish, I have restrictions of what I could eat and where I am. And like, I don't have to overthink that. It's just like, this is when I eat. And it also just helped me with like the discipline of it, because it's like, this is my time frame. And I also felt that if I have a day or a week that wasn't so good, I felt it a lot easier to get back on track by like, okay, I'm going to fast a little longer. Or I think we're up to Mike. Mike, in terms of diet, like what's your framework for that?
I did not intermittent fast when I was running more and lifting more, but now that I'm probably training more like a normal person, probably 4 to 6 hours a week total fitness time, I intermittent fast as well. My eating window is noon to 8 every day. I don't drink beer unless it feels necessary. And that just like general rule of thumb, no beer in the house has really helped me since I love a good hoppy IPA. And then as a general rule of thumb, I don't eat food that comes from wrappers. And so that's really helped me just default to, you know, fresh cut broccoli, carrots, hummus versus the grab and go protein bar that ends up having more sugar than a Snickers. But those three basic levers, you know, 2 years in since kind of dropping running and going harder on my career and family, has really, really helped me stabilize weight, but also body composition and energy.
Sorry, before I'm going to interrupt, Marshall, before you go, something which I'm starting to explore, and this was recommended by a few family members, is gluten-free. Have you done anything with gluten or gluten-free?
My wife is celiac. She was diagnosed when we first started dating 13 years ago. So I'm probably like 90% GF just because I'm with my wife a lot. So, and you get used to kind of eating that way. So I'm gluten full for sure. Like I love a good, you know, piece of bread, but I do eat gluten free pretty naturally now because of my wife.
And have you noticed any differences or that's just.
Yeah, when you go to Carb Town on like gluten full foods, like I think most people feel worse. And so I do think that when you eat more meat, more cheese, more vegetables, less, you know, Parmesan bread, you do probably feel better. That's definitely been the byproduct for me with beer specifically.
Got it. Okay, Marshall, not to you.
Yeah, two pieces on diet. First of all, I feel personally attacked because I have an opened Metrics protein bar in front of me right now that I'm halfway through. It does come from a wrapper. It does have more sugar than I would like it to have. And number two, my wife was also diagnosed with celiac in 2012. So we're on year 11 of that journey before we got married as well. I didn't even realize we had that in common, Mike.
Yeah, neither did I.
My house is pretty gluten-free as well. From a gluten-free aspect, when I travel, I joke with my wife that that's where I pick up all the gluten. You know, I'll go to a restaurant or order pasta specifically. For me, my diet has been focused more on protein than anything else. I try and eat a gram of protein for every pound of weight that I have. It's very difficult when you're 6'5", 240 pounds to eat 240 grams of protein a day. But I try and get the number as high as I can. The other thing diet-wise for me, I don't know if this shows up in the podcast or if it's just audio only, but I do drink a gallon of water every single day. I just switched to a gallon jug. That way I don't have to go and fill it up all day long. But that's another huge thing. People underestimate the importance of water, especially with intermittent fasting. Like you mentioned, I'm a 12-to-8 window as well. When you're hungry, a lot of times you're just thirsty. So drinking water definitely helps that.
And they also overestimate how much they actually drink. So you're spot on there, Marshall. I agree with that.
Do you find that interrupts your pattern by having to go to the bathroom more often?
It does. Absolutely. I, as somebody in the supplier space in multifamily, you can imagine the amount of internal and external calls that I'm on, and there's usually a 60-second window in between. So it's I am late to several calls because about once an hour, probably. And when you're drinking that much water, you have to use the restroom a lot. So it's the truth.
Okay. So parting off, what is a product? You already shared the Apple Watch, but for each of you, what's a product that has impacted your health journey or routine that you're a fan of? This is an unsponsored ad.
I'll go first, Mike, if you don't mind. A recent product that I picked up is a brand of shoe called Witten. It's actually a barefoot shoe. And when you're lifting, when you're running, the natural movement of your foot is extremely important. A lot of shoes today are high arch, tons of cushion. When I put a normal tennis shoe on now, it feels weird, like I'm walking in heels because my foot is actually completely flat on the ground. It's a very cheap barefoot shoe. It's got a wide toe box, but it helps with your stability, helps with your endurance. It's reduced any fasciitis pain that I've had just walking naturally. So that brand is WHITIN for anybody interested. They're only $40 a pair. And after I tried my first run, I bought two more pairs and they look dressy enough for me to wear to conferences. So if you saw me at OpTech, I was wearing these kind of shoes.
I'm gonna go AG1. I'm a big Athletic Greens fan. Actively working to get a sponsorship by them, literally close. But AG1 to me has been really helpful. I travel a lot. I tend to be dehydrated when I travel. Similar to Marshall, I believe in water. It's really driven like two great benefits for me. One is emphasis on micronutrients at the beginning of my day, and it travels really easy. And the second thing, because it mixes with water, I end up starting my day hydrated, which just drives a ripple effect of goodness. So AG1's about $80 a month, pretty expensive. But one scoop a day, tons of greens, vitamin D, vitamin B. And I've noticed a material difference in terms of my health and immunity.
Awesome. Well, I appreciate you guys sharing your story, your advice, and hopefully we'll get more stories from people who are inspired by this to make their life better and make better choices and ultimately feel better about themselves and produce better results. Thanks, guys.
Thank you.